Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Well, I'm back from a nice getaway, and I'll tell you, it's nice to recharge or just clear your thoughts and not worry about anything. So that's what I did, a lot of that. And now that I'm back, I'm talking to Linda Godfrey, who just happens to be going to an event at Key Raton Casino in the Sioux. It's their second, I believe, paranormal event, and Linda's on the phone. I think it's from Elkhorn. Is that where you're from?
That's correct. Actually, a little bit north of Elkhorn.
Slightly north by about 2.3 miles.
Out in creature territory.
Oh, okay. So how are you doing, Linda?
I'm excellent today, thanks. And how are you, TJ?
Fabulous. Well-rested. Well, maybe not that well.
That's better than me.
So you are going to be appearing at this event in the Sioux coming up this weekend. Is it Saturday, Sunday?
It actually runs, I think it maybe even starts Thursday night, goes through Sunday, and I'm going to be speaking Friday morning, and I will be in the book room, book and feature room with my books, a bunch of the latest ones, selling, autographing, signing, whatever people like.
So. Do you get a lot of people that come up to you, and I talked to you about this before the interview, that think you're nuts in the head at all?
Like I said, they may think that, but they tend to keep it to themselves. I get very little negative feedback. Most of it is positive, and people tell me they like that I stay sort of open-minded and keep my reporter's hat on. I was a newspaper reporter for 10 years, and so I have it sort of pounded into me that you always try and show all possible sides.
Right.
So I don't take any sighting for granted. If it smells like a hoax to me, I say so.
So this is what's, you've kind of got a skeptical view of things. You're going to be a little bit skeptical.
A little bit, you know, but I try to stay open to natural possibilities, and I also try to stay open to supernatural, because
right.
I do believe that there are, you might call it a spirit world or other dimensions, whatever you want to call it. I know that there are things beyond our normal senses.
And you've witnessed some of this.
Yes.
So that makes a believer out of you pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that helps a lot. You know, when you haven't ever had any experience, you're just kind of going on pure faith. And even so, I know a lot of people who will say, I really never saw anything, but I just know in my gut that these things happen.
Well, you know, I've never seen, we talk a lot about with you, the man wolf or the dog man. Maybe some people call him a wolf man. Something you found out, how many years ago was that, when you first started hearing about this?
Well, it was actually when I had just started working for the newspaper, the very, very end of 1991. My first story appeared actually in the New Year's Eve edition. So it was December 31st, 1991. And then everything kind of burst out in the early months of 1992. And, it was just that I wrote this newspaper story about people in my hometown who were calling the local animal control officer and saying they saw a werewolf, and he was keeping them in a file folder marked werewolf, which made it news. So, and then I was extremely skeptical to start out with, but when I went and talked to the people that were calling him, I realized they didn't seem like hoaxers to me. They were all genuinely scared. They were just ordinary people going about their business when this happened. A lot of them wished it hadn't happened. You know, and I started thinking, there's some reason. You know, there's something there. I don't know what it is, but the thing went national within weeks, and I really never had a chance to, leave it in the dust or anything. It just kind of kept pace with me through these years. And then finally, after 10 years, I started writing books about it, and I'm now on my my 13th book was just published on all sorts of different strange, weird, strange creature topics, but my fourth one on this man-wolf-dog-man topic will be coming out next spring. I'm working like crazy on it right now.
Now, this is really, I don't want to get too much into this. I know you're still working on it, but This is a maybe this is something pretty big for you. It's called Real Wolfman: True Encounters in Modern America.
Right.
You're going to take a combination of some of the other books, but also other investigations that you've been a part of.
Right. What this is with Karcher Penguin, a very big publisher, and what they asked me to do was to put together a new book that included the best of the first three, and then, you know, whatever other new things that I had come in. And, you know, I have noticed a couple of new phenomena, and there will be a few encounters that will kind of surprise people. And there's one, I'll just mention this briefly. I don't want to go too much into it. I've been kind of hinting at it on Twitter. But I've started getting reports of something that acts a lot like the Dog Man, but it has this twist to it. People are reporting it as a dog cat.
What?
Kind of like a combination between a lynx and a Doberman.
Really?
And this is not in Wisconsin. This is, you know, in the eastern states and California mostly. And very independent reports, people who never knew or heard of one another, you know, they had kept things to themselves, different years. And, yeah, this is something that there were maybe hints of here and there. You know, as I go through my files, I can find slight mentions to it, but never big encounters with them. So that, I think, is going to be kind of a nice addition. Plus, this one's grouped different. The first three were pretty much grouped either by year or by region. And this time, I'm exploring them by type of encounter. People who have encountered it right out in the open without a car between them, you know, or anything else.
How does this look like a dog and a big cat?
Oh, you still wanted to go back to that.
I mean,
well,
I can't, has it got two heads?
It doesn't make any sense, you know, but they all describe it kind of the same as with this humanoid cat-like body and a cougar tail and a head that reminds them of a wolf.
Hmm.
But it acts differently, you know, than the other things.
And how does it act differently?
It's very sneaky stalker.
Really?
It seems to have the same sort of behavior all the time, which is very like the man wolf and the dog wolf, which almost always has the same behavior, which is that it will aggressively, in most cases, confront people, or at the very least, it has an attitude like, I don't care, you're there, and if you're there, and it just, you know, turns its back and goes about its business. But either that or it aggressively confronts people to sort of scare them, which is can be interpreted either as a territorial defensive bluff move, or the supernatural explanation is that they're sort of psychic vampires and they feed on human negative emotion and try to get the biggest rise out of you so that they can get the best meal.
Mm.
So you can look at it either way, whichever way you want to flip the coin. But it's interesting to me that certain types of descriptions will come in so separately and still be so similar and such similar behaviors that are distinctly different than the Dogman and then the Bigfoot, you know, which has its own. And I still get Bigfoot sightings reported to me fairly frequently. And in fact, in my Michigan Dogman, Werewolves and Other Unknown Canines Across the USA, I purposely kept out most of the Bigfoot, but I could not resist putting in a list of at least 12 really good Bigfoot sightings that I've compiled within just a certain narrow corridor in southeastern Wisconsin since 1960. Now, those are just the pretty good ones that I've compiled. I'm sure there are other sightings, but to me, that's quite a large number for this little area within about, 30, 40 years.
Right.
You know, and it goes to show that there are big things, despite the fact that it doesn't seem like they could exist in such small areas. Plenty of people see them. A lot of these were daytime sightings by couples, people who saw them and had really good long looks at them and were, you know, positive business owners, you know. So it's not just like the wild bunch of yahoos out in the woods and hears
right.
the howls and sees a brown arm, you know.
Did they, was there like reports of a certain smell, a bad smell with these things, or do you remember any of that?
Sometimes a lot of them were from cars. I think one guy who was in a boat reported a bad smell, but he was fishing on a boat, really only about 15 minutes from my house in this sort of secluded wooded area, and one just stumbled out onto the shore and stared at him for a while. He had a really good look at it, you know. A lot of the other ones were in cars, but were able to slow down. It was daytime, you know, got really good glances at it. And then I revealed in that last book, The Michigan Dogman, that one of the sighters, it was just, the most recent was just last July, just a year ago, near Fort Atkinson, happened to be the granddaughter of the man who saw that first beast sighting in 1936 on the Indian mound at St. Coletta Institute that's become famous as the Gadara sighting. He thought he heard it say something that sounded like Gadara, which has a biblical
place
and
meaning. His granddaughter.
And it happened to be this man's granddaughter. And even though what he saw really almost sounded like a combination Bigfoot and man-wolf, I'm not sure what it was, she said she always really, in her heart, didn't believe that he saw it until she saw this Bigfoot in broad daylight. It was walking in a ditch. She pulled over and watched it as it walked into the tree line and wasn't that far away, from maybe 30 feet, 40 feet at the most. And again, it was daylight. She actually wanted to get out of her car and follow it, but she had her grandchild in the back seat, so she couldn't very well do that.
Right.
But she said it really actually made a believer out of her, because here
she... Do you think it's a coincidence that the granddaughter saw it?
I'm starting to doubt that, because I've noticed a trend that members of the same families tend to share the sightings, you know, where there may be no other neighbor or anybody within 50 miles that's seen it, but then somebody else from the family will see it. It's almost like there's an affiliation. I hate to say it because it sounds so woo-woo, but when you look at all of the incidents, you know, you start wondering if there is an affiliation between these unknown creatures and certain families.
Well, it's like with any paranormal, or even people that have talked about UFO interaction. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's certain families, and it repeats with maybe the next generation,
right,
or the generation after that.
Right.
So you find that, and then there also are people that seem to have some psychic ability, and that repeats,
right,
where they can tap into this. So that's, to me, that makes perfect sense, but maybe most people might go, no, that doesn't. But that makes a lot of sense to me, that perhaps we have these interactions by choice,
mm-hmm,
first of all, and secondly, because we're open to it somewhere deep inside. We may not think we believe in it, but perhaps we've had this contact before with these kind of beings. We just don't recall it.
Oh, that's a very good deep thought.
That's kind of like a reincarnation thing, though.
I do think that being open to some of these things has something to do with it, because I think if you're totally closed, you might be looking at a wood line and there could be a Bigfoot standing there and your mind would just refuse to interpret it as what it...
Well, not only that, but, you know, you listen to other people, I'm sure you've heard this, and I don't know, you know, what you think about it, but I've heard from more than one that they have the ability to put a thought in your head,
yeah,
if this is true, and you don't even see them.
Yeah, and you know, it's really, I have a striking coincidence. Not only the Bigfoot, but the man-wolf. People will often tell me that, and it's sort of like the last thing they say, but I've noticed also that there's a trend toward creatures being sighted on on-off exit ramps of freeways.
Really?
Which is sort of logical, maybe, because it's, I guess there's no crossroads, you know, no other way to get across. But I have two separate incidents. One was in Muskogee, Oklahoma. The other one was in a suburb of Milwaukee, where people saw what they thought was like a hurt dog or something on the clover leaf, you know, on the grass of the clover leaf.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, the people felt that it was telling them it was a hurt animal and it wanted them to rescue it. So when one just slowed down for a better look, the other one's actually parked and got out of their car, and in both cases, then it jumps up and it's a huge creature on two legs.
Mm. I can't imagine what I would do if I saw that. Well, I think I know. I think I know what I would do.
Uh-huh.
And I'd
Does
have
it
to
involve depends.
I would probably have to get a new pair of shorts.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to say, well, I could react this way, but you don't know.
No.
Until maybe you're put in that position.
No, I don't think you ever can know, and that's what people tell me. And you know, a lot of people will say, you know, I never had it. And I usually ask, about 50-50, some will say, yeah, I once saw a UFO, or I think I had a ghost in my house when I was a kid. The other 50% will say, I never even thought about this stuff. I had no clue. Mm. And many times they'll go for years thinking they were crazy, afraid to tell anybody, and then they'll stumble across me or one of my books, or somebody will tell them about me, and they'll write and say, thank God I can tell somebody who doesn't think I'm Looney Tunes.
Exactly why I do this show, because it happened to me as well. I've had these experiences, and I buried them away, and some weren't as big as others. And so now, hopefully, it gives people an opportunity to realize there's a lot of people talking about things. Linda Godfrey, just north of Elkhorn, Wisconsin. She has a book coming out, Real Wolfmen, True Encounters in Modern America. Her latest one, check out Monsters of Wisconsin. And we'll talk a little more about the event coming up at the Sioux this weekend.
Out there, out there, out there, out
there. Sirens, jet engines, car horns, leaf blowers. Today's world puts our sense of hearing on overload. Luckily, there are places we can go to refocus our senses. Our national wildlife refuges. It's amazing how much more you'll hear when you just take a minute to listen. Like a stirring chorus of songbirds warbling in the treetops. Or the industrious beaver slapping its tail in the mountain pond over baritone bullfrogs. Or the pulsating beat of a pileated woodpecker looking for a meal. When you hear these things, you're hearing the world the way we found it. With over 500 refuges across America, you don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
It's out there, out there, out there, out
there. Her name is Linda Godfrey. She's been, well, since 1991, investigating what's been known as the man-wolf. But not just the man-wolf. We've talked about ghost stories. We talked about Bigfoot before. Why are you drawn to all these things? Because people will look at, my wife will look at me and think, okay, I like hearing about this a little bit, but after a while, enough. You know, and I'm really always interested in this. Not all the time, but plenty of time. So what makes you want to find out about these things?
Well, I have to say first that I'm really thankful. My husband has learned to be very tolerant over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's kind of developed his own interest. But I always was a kid from a very early age that loved fairy tales. I had a vivid imagination. There was a whole fairy world around me. We lived in an old house that I didn't really realize was haunted at the time, but it did a lot of things that scared me, like footsteps coming up the stairs at night,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a picture that breathed that would go away if I said the Lord's Prayer, that kind of stuff.
You would see this?
Pardon?
You would actually see the picture breathing?
No, I would hear it.
Oh, okay.
I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and there'd be this horribly loud breathing sound in my room. And I'd go listen at the door, and it wasn't coming from anybody else in the family, and I'd listen at the picture, and it was coming from the picture.
Wow.
But if I said the Lord's Prayer, it would stop.
Wow. You never told me that.
Yeah, that's...
That's cool.
Well, I haven't shared a lot. The funny thing is that when it became my younger sister's turn to get that room, I had never said anything to my family about the picture because I thought they'd make fun of me. And the first night she slept in it, she came down to breakfast looking really grumpy and sleepless. And she says, you never told me the picture breathed. So she heard it too. And I said, well, it's okay. Just say the Lord's Prayer and it'll stop. And so she did, and it worked for her too.
Wow. What do you think that was? Any idea now all these years later?
Well, you know, I hear a lot from people who will tell me about their haunted houses or other things that sooner or later, either they get fed up and they just yell at whatever it is to stop it, cut it out, sort of rebuke it, or they'll pray over it, and that often does the trick of stopping it. And I've heard people tell me they've prevented being abducted by aliens the same way.
What? Really?
So, yeah. So it seems that there is a spiritual component to these things if you just go by the anecdotal evidence and things that people say. And I want to add that there are some spirit manifestations that seem so entrenched that this sort of thing doesn't work. You know, and in fact, I'm investigating a heretofore unknown to the public exorcism that occurred in southeastern Wisconsin. I've been kind of tracking this nun for months and
Really? Getting
down to the bottom of it. Yeah, and I'll be writing about that in the real Wolfman book.
And so this is a case where by saying some prayers, it didn't go away, you're saying?
No, there was a little boy who was possessed to a huge degree, very much like The Exorcist. And when the priest finally managed to wrangle it out of him, it went to the priest. And mm-hmm. it couldn't possess him, but it harassed him, you know,
mm-hmm.
turning him out of bed at night and that kind of thing, until he finally actually had to leave the local diocese and go away to get rid of it.
And it didn't follow him after that?
It may have followed him, you know, but I think he went away to a retreat where he had some heavy-duty help, and then he came back and served the rest of his
time. See, I have this belief, and I don't know if it's even close to, you know, the truth, but it works for me. We all came from the same place. Every one of us, even the man-wolf, we all are energy, forms of energy, and we all have chosen a path to evolve. And if we truly understand who we are and are aware of that on a deeper level, I don't think there's anything that can hurt us in the spirit world. I don't care what it is. But if there's a little bit of doubt, no matter who you are, you open the doorway to these things. And that's why I always believe you can surround yourself. And I guess I haven't been what this little boy went through, so it's easy for me to say. But I just look at other people that have survived things. And what I truly believe in my core is that we've got to be protected. There's got to be a way to mm-hmm. be protected from all of this, because it doesn't have dominion over us. Nothing does.
No, and I think I mentioned this to you before the show. It kind of fits into this. I've got several families in a couple of different states that have had ongoing manifestations after seeing one of the unknown upright canine creatures on their property. And it's very similar, even though they don't know each other, they're, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from one another. They have things like they'll hear it walking on 2 feet, crunching the gravel in the driveway under their windows. Something will bang into the siding of their house and dent the siding in 7 feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see the tracks. And this has been going on for a couple of years in both cases. And in one case, the wife of the family has been keeping a diary, and she sent it to me, and I'm just overwhelmed, you know, with what they've been going through and enduring. And I have to say that I've had other cases like this, and in some cases, people will, if they happen to practice Native American beliefs, they will do what the sage cleansing ceremonies,
mm-hmm.
and that seems to help some people. Or they'll get priests in if they're Christian and bless it with holy water and that kind of thing. And that seems to be very powerful and helps a lot. But what I tell people to do is get some really big floodlights, yard floodlights that you can switch on from the indoors, and just switch them on whenever anything happens. And that seems to quell it as well as anything else.
You know, it's funny you mentioned this about somebody. Now, this may be nothing at all, but we've had a lot of strange things happen where we live out in Wilson. When we first moved in the house, and this happened winter, summer, you know, I could have said it's the house settling.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to happen more in the first couple of years. There would be a loud bang somewhere on the house. Like something smacked it really hard. Now, I have no neighbors, and if something came near the house, near the front of it, we have a sensor light. And in the wintertime, I would go out and I'd look for tracks to see what the heck ran into the house. Now, it may have just been the cold. Certainly, that could be the case. But it hasn't happened in the last number of years. It hasn't. Mm. And for maybe the first 2-3 years we were in the house, bang, and it happened any type of weather. And it was maybe once every few months or something like that. And I'd look at my wife. I said, "You hear that?" She goes, "Yeah, what is that?" And I'd run outside. And to be honest with you, I'm truly not afraid, because I know Of course, it's easy for me to say now. I could go out, you know, I could go out tonight and be scared, but I really believe we go on regardless. Mm-hmm. And I also have a friend who believes very strong in angels, that they're there to protect us.
Oh, I do too.
And so,
I'm a big, very, very big believer in angels.
You can call on the Archangel Michael, and he is a warrior, and nothing will get through Michael. So if I surround myself with that, then I can get on my courage and not worry about it. Worst comes to worst, they slash me, I wind up in spirit, I'll catch you the next time around.
Well, I kind of feel the same. You know, people will say to me, well, you know, don't you have terrible nightmares all the time writing about monsters? And actually, I don't. Very, very seldom do I have a dream of even a wolf, and if I do, it's usually more like a beneficial thing.
So when you have these monsters of Wisconsin, are you talking about the man-wolf mainly in that book?
Oh, no, no. This is everything from Bigfoot to little green men to little people. What I had such fun with in this book is that I was able to put some things in that I've collected that didn't fit in anywhere else. For instance, there was a woman in Eau Claire who was working as kind of a volunteer at a cemetery. She was there by herself, and something made her look over at the tree line, and she saw like an 8-foot figure with a white head. It was sort of humanoid, but it was very tall and thin. And she realized that it had been standing there watching her work, like the whole time. She just suddenly knew that. So she got in her car and drove home. She pulled in her driveway, and there it is sitting in her living room. She can see through the picture window that it's sitting in her living room.
Holy cow.
Just sitting there like it's watching TV or something.
Oh, my goodness.
So she waited, and then she saw it get up and walk out the back, so then she quickly went in the front and locked the doors. But, you know, she thought that it was a spirit thing of some kind.
Right. Well, and who's to say, like, again, how do these things interact with us? Is it by chance or is it by design? And I believe pretty much even chance is by design. Everything is by design. Mm-hmm. We draw it in either because we want the experience in our lifetime, or we draw it in with our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And once we become afraid of something, we're going to get more of it.
Right.
And
yeah,
so,
you draw in what you fear, I think.
So, to me, this just explains why some people experience this and others maybe don't. You know, it's funny because my understanding of, like, the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot investigations, they're not anything like these other critters, are they? As far as, yeah, they can be... Uh-oh, he just saw one.
Yeah, my little dog. I think he saw a squirrel outside and warning me of the danger. That's another reason I'm not afraid. I have this massive Lhasa Apso guarding me.
Yeah, he's a big one. So, people, you know, their reports, you know, I've heard there have been some Sasquatches that have been a little gnarly, but most of them aren't, it seems like, the reports I've read.
Yeah, I it's kind of hard to talk about this and be one way or the other. I don't think that there's a teddy bear. I mean, there are people who are like, oh, it comes to my backyard and I feed it berries, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's my gentle guardian. And
right.
And it braids my horse's tail, and that kind of. And I think that is probably as wrong a depiction of it as a fearsome monster. They seem to be fairly benign if you leave them alone,
right.
But I think that they could do somebody great harm if they wanted to. You know, just from descriptions that I've had, people usually if they get it mad, they're pretty afraid of them. However, we mentioned earlier that sometimes they seem to put thoughts in people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that I've heard this both from Bigfoot witnesses and the man-wolf witnesses. And there's a difference. Usually the Bigfoot messages are much more benign
mm-hmm.
than the man-wolf. Usually the
right.
Bigfoots are more like, you know, this is my place, you should go now, that kind of thing. The man-wolf is, I want to eat you for breakfast. If you
right.
tell anybody I saw you, I'll track you down and find you. I'm here, you're there, you can't get me. I'm superior to you. You know, you little worm of the dust. That's that's the feeling they get.
A very threatening.
Yeah, they're very very aggressively threatening, and this real attitude.
Well, I know there's some people not far from here, and I'm not going to tell you where. At least during the interview, I'll tell you off.
But oh, good.
some friends of mine, actually, well, I'll just leave it at that for now. But Native American, and they actually communicate with Sasquatch, and they've actually called it in before to their fires, and they're, you know, and I'm sure they all have their own personality. You know, we're all beings of energy, living out our own creation. And so, but they see these beings, the Sasquatch, as being the guardians of the forest.
Well, I've heard that too, you know, and I can believe that as well. I just don't think that they're going to play nice with everybody who calls.
If you're not pure at heart, I think.
Right.
If you perhaps have no ill intention towards anything, and I don't know, that's just my guess, that they're going to treat you okay. And I know there's even been some individuals that have actually, Native American, that part of their next step in enlightenment was to go out in the middle of the woods and try to call this thing in and see if you would not be afraid. And I know a good friend of mine and his sister did this, and she called it in. You know, they go on this like 3-day fast in the middle of the woods. That's part of a ritual. And it really cleanses you, I think. It really clears your head from a lot of things.
Well, and see, I think there's a lot different attitude with that, and between that and between kind of the Western attitude of I'm going out in the woods and I'm going to find this thing, you know, and I might shoot me one.
Hunt it down, yeah.
And either that or, you know, the fairy tale aspect of it where you're looking at it as this playful thing that it's all about me, it loves me, it comes to me, you know, because I'm, its, you know, there's sort of an ego in there in both cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you're talking about where they're seeing it as a spiritual animal, a spiritual experience, something that's not done to aggrandize themselves in any way, but to have more of a communion with nature.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think there's a very, very big difference between those two different kinds of attitudes.
Well, as the story goes, my friend's sister, it's pitch dark, she's by herself, middle of the woods, calling this thing forward because it's a test that I guess you pass.
Mm-hmm.
She hears this thing shrieking, the noise that people have described, running through the woods, getting closer and closer, and she eventually becomes afraid and asks it to go away, which it does. So, but this is part of their tradition, you know, and they've talked about it. I'm sure if you research back, you probably find the natives, you probably come across this, right, Linda? How many stories they've had for hundreds of years?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Canadian Cree have a tradition of what they call the hairy breast beings, which sound exactly like Bigfoot, and they respect them a lot, but they are known to occasionally, in lore, I don't know if this actually happened, but in lore they're said to kidnap Indian women from time to time for a purpose, but that's part of the legend. But most of the Native Americans that I've talked to, and I've talked to tribal elders, some of whom are anthropologists too, and they all tell me basically the same thing, which is that the Bigfoot and the man-wolf are very old creatures, older than man. They were known to their ancestors going way back, and that they have a sort of relationship with them that, and these creatures can go between the spirit world and our world sort of at will. They know where the doors or the portals, whatever you want to call them, are, and that they are not to harm man seriously because there's some ancient business. And I was told a couple of different legends that I'm not supposed to repeat, but supposedly there's an ancient business between them and man that prevents them from killing and eating us. But when they're here, they need sustenance and energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
they gain that.
Yeah, deer. You know, that's why a lot of times the sightings will be a Bigfoot or man wolf lugging a deer away.
Mm. And again, I also think if there's a creator that gave us all this opportunity to be, then he wouldn't this being, man or woman, it would have not said, you have dominion over this one. You know, I think it's just kind of an evolutionary thing that we've done. And all things are protected if they so choose to be, the way I see it. So, go ahead.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
Your research finds that Wolfman devours DJs, probably.
No, only Dear Jays.
Oh, okay. As long as I'm safe.
Yeah.
And talk show hosts who host these weird programs, that's the number one thing on the menu for the man wolf. I like that. That tastes good. I'll take one of them.
Yeah, right behind the researcher investigator.
You know what? I thought I just heard a noise down in the basement where it's dark. I'm going to go down there without a flashlight and look, because I've seen that on movies before.
Yeah.
Doesn't that crack you up, Linda? Doesn't that crack you up?
Oh, yeah. You always know which one's going to get it. It's just like the old Star Trek episodes where the unnamed new intern goes down to the planet with the others. And you know which one the alien monster is going to get. You just know
it. Exactly. Now, do you care to share anything more? Because I know you've had some other bizarre things, or no more. Not going to share any more of that.
I don't know. What did you have something in mind?
Well, I remember you told me a story about seeing these visitors in your home. Do you want to go down that road?
Visitors.
Beings?
Well, you know, I've had probably, I think it's a more interesting thing that I really believe I saw part of a dog man in Michigan.
In Michigan?
Yeah, and I started out, the Michigan Dog Man Werewolf starts out with this episode where I was actually with a History Channel cameraman and several witnesses who had seen two different upright unknown canines. One of them chased their car. One was tall and gray. The other one was tall but not as tall and dark brown. So it seemed like there were two different distinct individuals. And we were out there at like 2 a.m. in the morning on a very humid, hot, thunderstorming summer night. And it's a lonely, desolate place, a gravel road. I think one car came down it the whole 6 hours we were there. Nothing around it but brush, one little lone abandoned building that had a reputation for being haunted, which was why these young people had come out there in the first place. So it's like in the middle of nowhere. Mosquitoes everywhere. They were just thick. I mean, it's not a night or opportunity for anybody to be out hoaxing, but we kept seeing yellow eyes in the bushes. We had a spotlight trained down the road, and something kept running just outside, skirting the edges of that spotlight where we could hear it and kind of knew it was there, but we couldn't see it. At one point, I heard something that sounded exactly like a dog shaking out its coat. Any dog owner knows that sound, except it was really loud. It had to be something much bigger than my Lhasa Apso. And it was no more than 30 feet away in the brush.
Wow.
So we were kind of on edge, and then all of a sudden I happened to notice something go running across the road just outside the edge of the spotlight, enough so that it caught about an inch of the fur on the creature's back, and the back was vertical. And when it ran across the road, it ran in front of a reflective road sign and blotted it out for a moment. And when we went back and measured that, it would have had to have been 7 feet tall, which was exactly what the witnesses had said.
Now, is this on Monster Quest? Which show was that?
Actually, it was supposed to be on Monster Quest, but something really goony was happening out there. There was a really odd glitch to the film that somehow it all ended up imprinted with white dates and numbers that they could not get off of the digital camera no matter what they did.
Really?
And not only that, I had taken a lot of pictures. There were tracks that we had found that day. I'd taken a lot of pictures of tracks and odd places, odd things that we saw around the property in the daylight, and put my camera, kind of at the end of the day, I quit taking pictures, put my camera in the History Channel van on the passenger side. Nobody else was in it. There was nobody else out there. I was leaning against the van at almost most of the time. I would have known if anyone snuck up, you know, and opened the door. But when we got back in the van, my camera was gone. It was just gone. And I mean, I'd been watching witnesses, not purposely, but they were in my view the whole time. The cameraman certainly didn't do it. And we searched up and down the ditches before we left. We backtracked. We did everything we could think of. That camera just vanished, and it was so unexplainable that the History Channel bought me a new camera.
Wow.
I like to say the dog man ate my camera.
he's taking pictures in another dimension.
Well, yeah, and just between that and then the digital camera bollocksing up like that.
That is weird.
It just seemed awful.
And you think that's more than a coincidence?
It just seems to be, you know. I mean, it just seems more than coincidental. And when one of the other witnesses saw the same thing I did when it ran.
Where was this in Michigan? I'm sorry, Linda.
Sure. This was in a desolate rural area northeast of Reed City, which is on the edge of the huge, over a million acre Manistee National Forest.
Okay. So you said one other witness. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, one other witness saw the same thing I did when it ran across. And at that point, they just became so deeply frightened, they refused to stay any longer.
No kidding.
So that was when we packed up and left. So I can say I think I may have seen the back of the dog man.
Well, not only that, but he took your camera.
And he took my camera, yeah. That camera never did work that great anyway. I was all...
He's probably disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in dog man world trying to take pictures.
Yeah.
What did I take this one for?
He deserves that old Minolta.
Well, there's a lot of mysteries out there, and we may never completely find the answers. I think we will. I really do. And I also think we're coming into a time of great awakening. And the great awakening is not for just our own spiritual path, but to understand all the things that are going on. And this is how I draw it all together. We will eventually figure out, well, there are people that do believe this, mm-hmm. the Native Americans, many of them, and maybe some researchers, what these things are all doing and what they're all part of. They're all part of the spirit world intermixing with us, and more of this seems to be happening because of the changes going on. I don't know if you believe in any of that, but there are changes going on to our planet. There's changes going on in the spirit. And to me, it's all part of a spiritual evolution.
Well, there seems to be. And, you know, it makes sense. I mean, nothing stays the same. Everything changes.
And maybe it's a chance to wake up. Maybe we have been living on this planet and not being aware of what's been going on. And maybe the truth's been kept from us.
That could be, too.
Boy, there's a lot of questions. Linda's got all the answers. Go see her at Key Waiting Casino in the Sioux. Tickets, how much out there?
Well, it depends on whether you want to go for one day or the whole weekend, or there's a special package where you get dinner with the speakers.
Really?
My friend Rosemary Guiley is going to be there. I'm really excited. I've worked with her on several projects. She's a well-known author on these topics, and I think she's going to be talking about genies and... How they relate to other spirits that we're more familiar with.
Hmm.
So it's going to be a great weekend. But what I'm saying is there's a ticket price for everybody's budget. You know, it varies. And you can look up Michigan Paracon 2011. Just Google Michigan Paranormal Conference or Michigan Paracon 2011, and it'll take you to it. There, it has its own site, and it's also... really well listed on the Keewaudin Sault Ste. Marie site.
Right. They're going to have all different types of people. I know they got two of the ghost hunters coming in.
The big TV stars are there. I benefit greatly because they line up for them and then come over to my table.
So. Well, Linda's pretty well known. Those of you that follow the Paranormal Trail, she's been on, a number of different TV shows. And she's written many, many books. And her current book is called Monsters of Wisconsin. And then she has a new one coming out sometime later this fall. Real Wolfmen, True Encounters in Modern America. I'd love to have you on longer, but we're out of time.
Wow, that went fast.
And you know what? I even went a little longer. But one of these days, I'm going to have to come see where you're at.
That'd be great.
And this weekend doesn't work for me, but just be able to sit down with you, and if you don't mind, and hear more stories.
That would be great. I would love that.
So thank you very much, Linda Godfrey. Best of luck to you. Continued success with your writing.
Thanks for having me.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.